out what the impact is of some of the findings in the State of Cities report conducted and commissioned by the SA Cities Network. The Chief Executive of the SA Cities Network, Sithole Mbanga, joins us, as well as the Deputy Secretary General of the Progressive Professionals Forum, and as well as former MMC in the City of Johannesburg, Matidiso Mfikwe. Good morning to both of you, Matidiso as well as Sithole. Let's start here. The report, some of the headlines coming out of it, at least some of the headline figures there, telling us that population growth could hit 24 million at the high end, 9 million at the low end by 2050. We have to take the worst case scenario then, say we'll be a population of 84 million people then, if my calculation serves me right, or 82 million people then. Two in every three South Africans living in an urban area. Does that spell a disaster, or is that something that at least the infrastructure, resource capacity, and planning tools of the country can meet? I'll start with you on that, Sithole.
No, thanks very much, and good morning to my to my panelists as well, Ms. Mfikwe. Look, it's an opportunity. So I think the first thing that I need to say, that it's not the first time that we have said this, and we are not the only organization that has said this. I think as far back as 2010, the United Nations Habitat had also done its population estimates, and it was clear that urbanization is on the rise. And when we produced, in conjunction with the Department of Cooperative Governance, the Integrated Urban Development Framework Policy, which is an instrument with which we were proposing how it is that we would manage urbanization, these figures were mentioned. So it's nothing new. I think what's new is that the reality is closer than we had thought.
Yeah.
So we think that it's a disaster if we do not plan for it, if we do not respond to that reality through proper infrastructure planning. But if we respond positively to it, it's not a disaster. There's a huge opportunity that comes with more numbers that are conglomerated in a particular space, particularly if it's young people.
Absolutely. And which will be the case, right? Our population is becoming younger and younger progressively over time. Sithole, do we have the resourcing and the planning tools in place to be able to think that far into the future? Now, you know, 2050 is about, what, 28 years from now? It sounds like a lot of years from now, but it really isn't a lot of years from now. Do we have the right planning mechanisms in place?
So you're correct when you say it's not a lot of years. I mean, it's just a generation. And there are countries that, through good practice, have been able to think intergenerationally. I think Singapore is one such country that everybody generally makes reference to. And there's many others as well. So it's not impossible for us to think these things through and to put scenarios and be able to respond to those scenarios and change as the dynamics towards a particular scenario change. So it's not impossible.
Yeah.
However, I don't think we've got adequate resources. We don't have adequate financial resources. We don't have adequate time. We don't have adequate number of expertise. So what is important then is for us to start acting in a way that makes us cooperate. There's no need for us to compete between the public sector and the private sector,
yeah,
or between civil society and the private sector. And also, there's no need for us to compete within the public sector, right?
Yeah.
Hence, the report talks about the importance and the significance of governing in a cooperative way, where all of society and the whole of government is mobilized.
Yeah, absolutely. Matidiso, Sithole tells us about that we don't have enough and adequate resources. But within the resources we do have, is there a resource skew? And I'm asking this because I'm wondering whether 2 out of 3 South Africans living in urban areas spells out a crisis, or should we pursue some sort of an aggressive de-urbanization project?
Good morning, and thank you very much for having us. Morning to Sithole.
Morning, Matidiso.
Look, we have a urbanization is informed by availability of opportunities. So as much as you could have a de-urbanization process, you are still going to suffer a level of urbanization at a particular point. So I would want to agree with Tola that for me there are indeed opportunities that we could build on, you know, preparing for 2050. Do we have adequate skill? I think we do, and we are not utilizing the skill at the right places for the right benefits. So if private and public institutions could come together, not to compete, as he is saying, come together, because we need to unravel this challenge that we are going to face. You know, there are opportunities for all parties to be involved in. South Africa is a bit stable, so you will find inward movement from time to time. I don't want to talk about borders being opened, but internally you will have that movement. But we need to be able to say these are the future. And Singapore is a case in point. I've been to Singapore. If you look their history of growth and urbanization, it happened internally. Internal capacity was built in there. Mm. So, and I know it's an island, so it might be a bit of a challenge to actually learn 100% from it, but it's a cosmopolitan city, you know. So our metros and cities could learn some things out of what happened in Singapore over a period of time.
Yeah.
They also had a planning of about 50 years, if I'm not mistaken. You know, this is where we want to see Singapore in 50 years.
Yeah.
So there are quite a lot of cities that we could learn from. Building our, not necessarily starting afresh, but building from on what we have, you know. So partnerships, collaborations will take us to where we want to go.
Yeah. Singapore is a good example, and some of those differences must be pointed out. I mean, it's a country with a population the size of Soweto, effectively, right? But that forward planning was incredibly important, and they got that right. And you speak about skills here. Let's talk about what are the requisite skills required for this sort of planning, and do we have enough of that in South Africa?
Look, I don't think we have enough, because for you to be able to build up for urban migration, you need to change your face of the areas that people are coming in. And that talks about your urban planning abilities,
right?
You know, infused by long-term planning. You know, municipalities do have their long-term plans, but the ability to implement them and realize those plans remains a bit of a challenge. And it will take collaboration with institutions of higher learning. You know, we know that in 2050 we are going to have a growth in population. We know that we need to have change our urban areas. What are institutions of higher learning's role in making sure that the curriculum in those institutions responds to this critical need that you are going to see happening in the very, I mean, you're saying it's 18 years. I mean, 18 years is something that will just fly. You see, our years just fly because of climate change issues, you know. So institutions of higher learning need to change their thinking and the training that they are offering to respond to what is needed in society. I think it's time that, I mean, sitting with great ones who are sitting because they studied wrong, or they studied courses that are not necessarily contributing to the economy and to the development of our country. Are we not supposed to move towards saying what is needed as a critical need? Then we create studies that are going to respond to that.
Yeah.
So the institutions of higher learning and probably the Ministry of Higher Education has a bigger role to play in changing the mindset, in changing how we train and take out what we need to take out for the building of an urban renewed country in the future.
Yeah.
So all of us have a role to play here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Stoll, I want to ask you this. Do we have a lot of urban migration, or do we have a lot of urbanization? To me, the difference at least seems to be that with urban migration, people are moving to urban areas, whereas with urbanization, I understand it to be that more of the country is urbanizing. So, you know, places that used to be rural or peri-urban are now becoming urban. Which do we have more of, and does that impact how we should be planning, or should we plan all the same for both instances?
I think we have a combination of both. I'm unable to say which one is more between the two. All I can tell you is that the combination of both is creating a situation of instability, for lack of a better word, in how it is that we are supposed to be responding. So on the one hand, we are responding to the phenomena of urbanization, and on the other hand, there's a population intake that's taking place. But there's also secular migration, right, on the other hand. So whereas there are people that are moving into, let's say, by way of example, larger municipalities, your metropolitan municipalities, there's also other people that are moving out of metropolitan municipalities into your intermediary cities, or what is sometimes referred to as secondary cities that are not necessarily metro. So there's that secular migration that's taking place as well, is even at a ward level, where people are moving from one ward to the other within a particular municipality, or from one region to another region. So it's an interesting phenomena, and the question is, how do we arrest it? And I think the suggestion that we need, I think in South Africa in particular, there's an opportunity for us to transform the apartheid space that we inherited, you know, because it continues to be inefficient.
Yeah.
Where there are townships on the one hand and places of work are on the other hand. I mean, on average, I think this, it's been said so many times that the average household spends at least 60% of its small income as a household on public transportation, or rather on transportation alone. What about the other goodies in the basket of expenditure that particular household,
yeah,
those things are not catered for. So there's an opportunity for us as a country to change that trajectory. And again, I dare say, how we change it is, we are going to have to change in the public sector. I mean, there's a lot of change that I think the public sector, as the lead sector, needs to take in order to accommodate how it supports the other sectors that rely on the public sector in order to change, whether it supports packaging land, whether,
yeah,
it's about changing the settlement patterns, whether it's making public transportation more competitive and more affordable, whether it's about ensuring that we quickly move and transition into cleaner energy, ensuring that we are conserving natural resources such as water. I mean, there's an opportunity for job creation as a consequence of this particular dynamic. Since I said, this is more of an opportunity that we must ill afford to squander.
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting that you mentioned things like public transport, because that's exactly what I was thinking about. You know, the true strength of any democracy is not how many people are driving fancy cars, but how many of its well-off people are making use of buses and trains and those sorts of,
yeah,
facilities, right?
Well, public transportation is a big equalizer of a society that is as unequal as ours.
Yeah.
If there were more of us that were getting into an efficient public transportation system, you will begin to see how equal we start to become.
Yeah.
Just by virtue of being able to move away from the private vehicle into a public vehicle. But that public vehicle, as I was saying, it needs to be efficient. It needs to be always on time. It must be affordable across the spectrum of society, and it must go to the right places, not just going to certain places.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I want to talk to you about some of the governance issues here, and Sithole speaks about cooperative governance, but Matsidiso, you've worked in that space as a former MMC in the city of Johannesburg. What are some of the key government inefficiencies and deficiencies that currently exist in dealing with these, and have we learned anything from COVID-19, for instance? Have we learned anything from the KZN floods? And if not, what are we to learn from those phenomena in terms of planning and reimagining our way of living?
Look, collaboration in government is very important, and if we don't get it right, we will be sitting with the situation that we are sitting with right now. You know, municipalities, some of them are highly dependent on provinces and national government for their funding. You know, municipalities, as we know, they must develop their integrated development plans.
Yeah.
But those development plans must be in a position to be integrated nationally and provincially. Hence, I thought the introduction of a district development module was trying to address those types of issues. But do we all understand what is the spirit of the development of the DDM, you know, in relation to planning and building capacity of municipalities to be able to implement their own plans? For me, that is where another challenge is at, you know. Number two is the ability of municipalities to even implement their own IDPs. You know, because if you don't implement and sufficiently budget for some of the programs that are envisaged in the IDPs, we could find ourselves in problems, you know. Collaborative issues, I've been battling with understanding any relationship between COVID-19 and climate change, and what is happening in KZN as part of the climate change issues that have been raised nationally and internationally. And if collaborations are not happening with the three spheres of government and including the private sector, we might find ourselves in a challenge. So understanding that there is a need for collaboration, there is a need for internal arrangements working for the benefit of society within government, you know, and responding to critical national issues that are having a bad impact on local government. I mean, people used to say governance actually happens in the locals, you know, in your municipalities. But if we don't integrate funding, if we don't integrate our planning, then we will move against each other as different spheres of government. So it is very important for me to instill and institutionalize internal integration of government operations, you know, for us to realize an ideal benefit for the community being able to respond to urbanization. I actually even wanted to say we have inward migration as well, people moving internally around provinces from to Gauteng, from Gauteng to Cape Town, you know, those have an impact also in the provision of services, including the provision of stability for our communities. Also wanting to add a bit on the impact of transport, public transport, because the more you have people using public transport and removing private cars, you are responding also to climate change problems.
Yes.
Remember, your cars give you highest percentage of greenhouse gas emissions. And that is what we need to remove and deal with for us to be able to respond as a country and municipalities to the impacts of climate change that are very dangerous for our communities.
Yeah.
So having an effective and cleaner, you know, public transport system, we will be able to respond to quite a lot of issues.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, on the other side of this, I want us to speak about the legislative framework that needs to be enacted and how we need to use legislative tools to ensure that the sufficient and requisite planning takes place for this. But let's take a quick break. Rob Burns, standing by with your traffic.